If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschutz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. And it's like, well, we're an award-winning show, so it feels like
we should
talk about awards, right?
We know what it's like, right?
Yes.
I guess. But the Emmys were this last week.
Yes.
And we had predictions, and I'll tell you, there were a lot of surprises, I thought. Mm-hmm. But I think I can justify those surprises because, and one of the, I think, bad surprises was that the studio got so many Emmys, and it didn't really need it. And I don't think any other show that's been kind of legendary has gotten that many. And
right.
you go, what, this had more than Cheers? This had more than the Mary Tyler Moore Show, All in the Family, you know, and it's not that good. I think it's more because the crowd that votes for these live that life.
Right.
And so, and Seth Rogen, 4-time Emmy winner, he's hit some record here now. And it's like, I remember when Alan Alda got 3.
Right.
And you go, oh my God, Alan Alda won 3? I can't believe it. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And they shoot out there. That's another big thing that we don't factor in, is that's getting jobs to people in California. And same with The Pitt. You were a big severance proponent.
Yeah.
And easily it should have gotten best drama.
It should have.
But The Pitt made a big point of, we're shooting everything here. We're doing it at the studio. We're loyal to our community. And so, and it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad show because I like it. I really
loved it. Oh, I did. I loved it. Yep.
And I'm glad it won. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the edge where, is this going to be jobs for us or is this going to be nothing?
Right. I'm with you on that completely. Like I love The Pitt. And there was a bunch of shows. So on that drama side, I saw Andor, loved Andor.
And it won. It won.
Yeah. Last of Us, great. I watched Paradise. I didn't think it should have been nominated for a drama, but, you know, sure, it was fine. Pitt, great. Severance, great. White Lotus, great. Severance is the best show. I'm sorry. You know, that was the best drama last year. Pitt was very, very good. I really, really liked it. It was not, in my opinion, not the best drama.
It seems like one of those shows that's been running for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does have that ER feel, even though they say, oh, no, has nothing to do with ER. Don't even say that because they got a lawsuit going.
Right.
But White Lotus, nothing.
No.
And it had all of those people in the acting categories. They practically strangled the acting categories and then they got nothing out of it.
Right.
So maybe too many candidates is not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and, you know, it kind of, doubling back to the studio for a moment too, and kind of, I think what sums up maybe the surprise or disappointment or whatever you want to call it with the studio was seeing the reaction from James Burrows, the legendary director from Cheers and so many sitcoms over the years, his reaction, because he was nominated for a directing award.
Right.
And he lost out. Yeah. Right. And he lost out to Seth Rogen. Camera was on him. He rolled his eyes. He had such a reaction of losing. And I don't know. I'm kind of with you, James.
I agree. Well, and did Seth Rogen need to have all these awards?
Right.
I don't think so. And then when you start kind of peeling them away, okay, give him the best comedy series if they want that.
Yeah.
But then you could find a better best actor, I think.
Yeah.
And I think you could find a better writer. or a better director in that regard. So, I mean, congratulations to him. I'm happy for him. But it was just a little, and the bear got nothing.
Well, I'm not shocked there. It's not
funny.
And that
goes back to that. Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? Right.
You know? I mean, they even knocked it in that opening, you know, where they had the whole the invention of TV, and they said, you know, in the future there'll be this show, and it's not funny, and it's a comedy, right? And they were poking fun of it. I mean, I think everybody knows it's not a comedy, but it just somehow gets nominated as a comedy because that's what. Maybe this is the finally what will push them over the top, and they'll be like, yep. More drama, and that's what we should submit
and
in.
And it could win. I think it could win.
I think it would
win. As a drama.
Yeah. It's a really good drama. It's one of the best dramas on TV.
In the limited series category, they didn't make enough of a big enough deal of this, but Adolescents walked away with everything but one. And wow, that's a lot. I think that spells success more than the studio ones. Among the surprises that we saw this year was Kristen Milioti winning for The Penguin when everybody thought that Colin Farrell would win for The Penguin.
Right.
And then she becomes like the only performer who wins in that category. So that was a surprise. Jeffrey Hiller from Somebody Somewhere.
Yeah.
That was a surprise. Hannah Einbinder, you know, she was due for Hacks.
Right.
So that wasn't that much of a surprise. I think the two people from Severance deserve it.
Yeah.
But they could have surprised people. And then the one that everybody said was going to win did win, and that was Owen Cooper from Adolescence. So there was enough there to kind of keep you going, but I don't think that the host was the best one for the show.
Yeah. Let's talk about the show for a second. This is not going to go down as one of the greatest Emmy shows of all time. Far, far from it. I like him as a comedian. That was an interesting program.
Well, one, he told everybody about his little secret, which was Boys and Girls Club was going to get money. And he talked about that all week long. And that became like the only bit he had.
Yeah.
So some of the times you go, they need to go longer.
Right.
And then you come to that clock and you go, oh, geez, that was kind of bad. So you feel bad about people actually giving good speeches.
Right. Right. And we're talking about Nate Bargatze because I realized I forgot to mention that, but he's a funny guy. Like I've seen his comedy specials. I've listened to him. He's a funny comedian, but
he's a clean comedian.
Right. So he's good for TV in that sense.
Yeah.
But he was not good as a host. And I don't think we will ever see him host something like this ever again.
Yeah. You know what was interesting? Leanne Morgan came on and did a little bit. And I thought she would have been good to pair with him.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a fun kind of duo, but that's going too far afield, I think. I think you needed a Jimmy Kimmel for something like this.
Yeah, it would have been better to have, I think, like a talk show type of. And if you look at the history of most award shows, they typically are either talk show hosts or they're comics that have like a strong TV presence. You know, like Steve Martin is somebody who I can think of like, yeah, I could see him hosting, right? He's that type of person.
Stephen Colbert is available.
Yeah, well, exactly. It just felt weird. I get what they were trying to do. You know, let's make you feel awful. Let's rush through these speeches so we don't hurt the kids. But it seemed a little bit weird, like playing with the emotions of disadvantaged youth, I guess, you know, like I'm not the most PC person in the world. It has nothing to do with that, but it's just like, you know, these are kids that are already struggling. Maybe we can, you know, just give them money and be nice about it. And if we're going to take money away from something, maybe pick something else instead.
Yeah. I think that whole concept could have ended when I look back, it was going south.
Right.
And they said, you know, we're not good. We're going to take this away.
Yep.
And I'm going to give $200,000 and CBS is going to give. And that they would have been done with it and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But they need material. And you know, who says that we need to go early on an award show?
Right. Right.
The Super Bowl, they don't stop them somewhere and say, no. You know, you got to hurry it up because we got to get it done by 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so let it go.
Just, yeah. Let them have their speeches. I mean, I think, not that I always enjoy it, but, you know, having the music kind of play off a little bit when you start going way too long.
Right. Well, remember, fine. You remember, from Jerry Maguire, mm-hmm. where Cuba Gooding Jr.
Right.
was yelling and screaming and jumping up and down, right. and they still were playing them.
Right.
And that was a cute moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have fun. I mean, it was, I enjoyed, like, I like J.B. Smoove, so it was kind of fun having him play into the bit a little bit, but I got tired of it halfway through.
Yeah.
I was struggling with much of the show, too. I mean, one of the more humorous interactions that I found was late. It was near the end when Ray Romano and Brad Garrett came out, and
I'll be an in memoriam the next
right,
time.
Right. Yeah, that's the next time I'm going to be here is the in memoriam. I thought that was both playful, both, you know, because that's kind of in their personalities, but it also brought you back a little bit to their characters from Everybody Loves Raymond. It was like, are they, you know, in character right now, or are they like, you know, Ray and Brad? And I thought that was probably the funniest thing I saw the entire night. I mean, this is just like a night of not funny, in my opinion.
You know, a couple of years ago, they started doing these kind of reunions of casts.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing, mm-hmm. because you get to see what they look like now. But the reunions they had, the Gilmore Girls, really? And then nobody's alive from the Golden Girls.
Right.
So, you know, what was that?
Right.
So I think there was, and then they had Law and Order. And that, we see them enough on TV that I really didn't miss them.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to pick a little better when they're going to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, let's see what happens. The kid from Adolescence had a great little speech.
He did, yeah.
And I don't think they should have had that one early on in the evening. Kids seeing kids winning in this kind of a situation would have been great. I also didn't like that they would kind of mix it up. So I go, well, now who all won in comedy? And they would have a little bit of comedy, and then they go to another category and then another category. Mm-hmm. Just do it all in one for each one. The comedy ones are these.
Right.
The drama ones are these. The limited ones are these, mm-hmm. and be done with it.
Yep. I'm with you.
That's my 2 cents on the Emmys. But I was proud of all of them, and I'm happy they won.
All right. Well, there you go. So we got a little break now, and then we'll be back, I guess. What's our next big one? We'll have some movie ones in end of the year, early next year.
Yeah. The Country Music Awards, are we going to do that? That'll be coming. And then we get to the end of the year movie ones.
Yeah.
And then it's a big, big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you like to vote for things and compete and all that, Dancing with the Stars started again.
This is your show.
I am so into Dancing
you
with
are.
The Stars. And you go dancing with the I don't know who you are people.
Right.
I have never watched The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I will now. But they had like about 6 or 7 of them sitting in the audience, and then 2 that were competing.
Yeah.
Now, is that something on the show? We're all going to dance. But I saw that it's going to be on Hulu. So they're related to ABC. So I get it. I get what they're doing. They're pushing their own. Did you see the first episode?
No. And I can assure you I won't see the first one, the second, or any of those that follow. This is just not my cup of tea.
It did not have somebody who was like so outrageously good that they're going to win it right now. Robert Irwin, the brother of Bindi Irwin, the son of the
Steve Irwin, right?
What? Yeah, but what was that show he had?
Uh, uh, oh,
the animal.
See how long it is?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But his sister won.
Okay.
And I'm sure he felt, I've got to bring it. But I knew something was up when early on in the evening, they had a commercial for underwear that he's been doing. Bond underwear? Never heard of it.
No.
Never heard of it. And he had a snake and he had all this stuff. And I thought, oh, they're pushing one of the ones before we actually get to his dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got to the dance and he was very good. He was very good, but you had all summer to prepare because they announced he was going to be on this show like forever.
Yeah.
You know? So he kind of emerged as one to watch. I was surprised that the athletes didn't do better. Jordan Chiles, the gymnast, mm-hmm. and Baron Davis, the basketball player.
Right.
Yeah. And then the old ones, Corey Feldman, he was reduced to already doing his connection, which was a little Michael Jackson bit.
Have you, have you seen, he's touring as like a musician. Did you know that?
Oh, I don't want to go. Do I have to?
No, all you have to do, anyone out there who has not seen this, you just have to go to YouTube, type in Corey Feldman concert.
Okay, good.
And you're going to see some of the absolute worst stuff. I don't even know. Is it music? I mean, he does his little breakdancing thing. I can't quite figure out if he's just doing it to be like a meme. You know, he's just trying to be funny.
Could be.
Or if he's like serious about this, because he seems to be taking it seriously. He can't sing. He can't dance. I don't know what
Remember
he's doing.
You're saying this. I'm not saying
it's truly
this,
awful. It's really, really bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's in the mix, and Andy Richter is the oldest of all the kids. And he, I think, brought a little personality. He would do a little wink here. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't like so many of those old ones where they just kind of stand around and lift a leg.
Yeah.
This was a little more. But they have one of the surprises, and the kids might get you to watch the show now, is one of the dancers for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour.
Okay.
Jan is his name.
Jan.
And interesting to see him. I don't know if he is as ballroom savvy as some of the other ones, but he was fine. And I'm sure he'll get votes based on that. There was also it's one of those Mormon wives that just gave birth to her third child under 3, 8 weeks ago. And she's out dancing. Really? I think I would want to be pushed around the floor. Thank you very much. And she did well. But yeah, so it's a mixed bag this year. And it's nobody where you go, oh, it's Urkel. You know, where you know who it is and you have that kind of built-in loyalty. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World was in there. But I don't think she brings as much as maybe a Brady Bunch kid.
Right.
Would. You know,
now I kind of want to watch knowing that Corey Feldman is in it because that's
and he's gotten really white. He has, you know, platinum hair,
right?
And his face was real white,
yeah.
And I don't know what that's
I don't
all
know.
About,
well, you know, he's in his mid 50s now, so
get a little sun,
right? Interesting,
But so that's dancing. And next, they didn't dump anybody this week, the first week. They will dump two people the next time.
Okay.
The next week's show. And it'll come back. It had huge numbers in terms of voting. They like doubled or whatever the numbers they had last year.
Yeah.
So I think people are eager for that. And maybe it's because we like competition.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
So dancing is your opportunity to get a little competition in your life again.
Yeah. You know, I didn't.
As well as football.
Sports. I didn't mention this when we were prepping for this show, but mentioning Corey Feldman, it does bring up another program I've been watching recently. Did you see the new 2-part documentary, AKA Charlie Sheen?
And I've heard of it. You know, the stuff that made the news.
Right.
I heard that, but I didn't watch it because I interviewed Charlie so many times over the years, before all of his trouble, during his trouble, and after his trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure, didn't he have some big surprises?
There were some surprises. I thought it was a pretty good documentary. You know, 2 parts again, doesn't need to be that long. debatable. It was good. I liked it. I learned some things that I was not aware of. I mean, he really opened up about kind of everything. I mean, he was talking about, you know, the backstory with Heidi Fleiss, you know, how he lost his virginity, and it was you know, to a paid a female.
That was... Oh, so he went to an escort service.
Oh yes, or yes, whatever. And he used his dad's credit card to pay for it, or something.
Oh,
like
wow,
that.
That sounds like a politician.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, there was like little things in it, you know, because he's somebody that's been in the news so much, especially with his meltdowns. But some of the things out there, like, you know, we knew about the kids that he had more recently. I had no idea he has a daughter that's like 40-ish years old that was raised by his parents because he was too immature to do it when he had her, and he's a grandpa now. So fascinating thing there. You know, they talked to the ex-wives. They seemed
Denise
was on it. She was an interesting one. She uses the F word liberally throughout the documentary.
She does on Real Housewives too, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yes. Like I think she always had that girl next door type of you know, personality to her. I think at the height of her success in the 90s, she's definitely a bit rougher around the edges. I was like, whoa, you know, it was kind of funny. Yeah. There was one point when she was like, clearly, I can't remember if she was broken up with Charlie at this point or what, but it was near the end of 2 and a Half Men, and they were trying to find him, and she got called to like check on him, and she goes to the house, and he's like a mess, and there's hookers there, and she's talking about how she was making like turkey mayo lettuce sandwiches, and you know, John Cryer is at the house also, and he's like, you're making them all sandwiches, and she's like, what, I'm not going to make you just because that's what you do for a living? I'm not going to make you one of my sandwiches. So it was kind of funny with that. I mean, it was interesting.
Did it leave him? Is he okay now or not?
He seems to be okay. I think he said he's been sober for about 7 years now. And
is he getting work?
I don't know. I haven't seen him much, so I don't think so, but
did he spend all his money?
No, he seems to be okay and on that end. Didn't really allude to having any financial issues, but you know, he opened up about things, you know, some sexuality, you know,
yeah.
It was weird. I mean, Sean Penn talked a lot about his drug use, like, just, you know, here's somebody that couldn't believe how much Charlie could do and survive it, basically. So really fascinating. Learned a lot. But yeah, that's out there. Two parts on Netflix if you get a chance.
You know, I interviewed him when he was in the throes of spending and being kind of the guy who has everything, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And he did table interviews. And if you don't know what this is, it's a number of reporters sit around a table, and then he goes from table to table to table to table to table answering questions.
Oh, okay.
So it's what they call a round robin. And he had a double drink at every table.
Okay.
So you figure by the course of a morning, and these were in morning, he would have had 7 or 8 drinks.
Yeah.
And how do you keep that up? You don't. I know that dad did a lot of interventions, and I know that dad came through.
Yeah.
Helping with that series where, you know, it was like shot in 5 episodes in a week,
right,
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless him for doing that. But I don't know how you get him to be scared straight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was interesting. They did actually get into one of the interventions where, you know, Charlie ends up at the house and they're there and they're like, you know, we got to set you straight. And Martin Sheen puts Clint Eastwood on the phone with him, and he's like, son, you got
it. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. One of the craziest things though that I learned here, he was originally cast to be Daniel LaRusso in The Karate Kid. Did you know that?
He wouldn't have been good at it.
Yeah. So here's why he didn't get the role. But he got the role. He was the number one choice, but he was scheduled to go, I think, to Hungary to shoot a movie, Grizzly 2, which was starring Charlie Sheen, George Clooney, and Laura Dern, of all people. This is like, you know, one of these low budget horror movies before any of them were famous. But his dad said, like, you've got it. You gave them your word. And your word means something in Hollywood, so you have to go shoot Grizzly 2. And so he went to the producers of Karate Kid and says, hey, you know, I got to go to Hungary and film this movie. Can you wait 2 minutes? Because he had to start karate lessons and all that stuff. And they're like, no, you either got to start now or we're recasting. So he went to Hungary to shoot Grizzly 2, and
look where that wound up.
Yeah, but as he says, it ultimately, like, at the time, he was very angry with his dad about that, but he felt it worked out better for him in the long haul because it opened up different doors, like Platoon and Wall Street and all that, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The whole, like, if you remember the scene in Ferris Bueller's where he's like cracking his knuckles by just like moving his hands, right? He does that in real life. Like, that's something that wasn't some sound effect or whatever. He was actually doing it in the documentary too at times. So, you know, that it was just an interesting look. It.
Which service is it on?
That is a Netflix one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's worth it.
Yeah, that'll be around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I want to see what he was, because I did, like I say, cover him so often.
Right.
That I wondered what would ever happen to this guy. And maybe this will help answer some questions. But when he was trying to kind of regroup,
right,
he was very remorseful about everything. Mm-hmm. And never decided not to answer a question. Always would.
Yeah.
But it may not be a straight answer. Mm-hmm. It might be a stream of consciousness, okay, you know, in the course of it.
Yeah.
But this is a good way to see what happened. And you, oftentimes, you know, those stars who are big as child actors don't get a second chance.
Right. Yeah.
He was lucky.
Yeah. Really, the only people that weren't in it, Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez, they didn't want to participate. One of his other brothers, Ramon Estevez, was in it.
Yeah.
A lot of his childhood friends, like Sean Penn. But it was good.
How about Rob Lowe? Did he talk?
I don't recall if he was in it or not. I don't think so.
They all hung together and they made movies.
Yep.
They all thought they were budding Spielbergs.
Yeah.
And somewhere you can find those films as well.
Yeah.
Where they're, you know, killing people in the backyard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was good for them.
Well, and those were in the documentary. They were showing some of those.
Well, then I'll go.
You have to watch it.
You piqued my curiosity. I want to see what's in there.
All right.
We'll see a picture of him sitting at a table doing an interview and having another drink and me rolling my eyes. That's what we'll see.
There was probably a scene in there and I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, there I was, mm-hmm. Right?
All right. Well, on that note, thank you all for listening and come back again next week for another episode of Streamed and Screened.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.